of the gym class. 3:03. That's the time. That's the date. Thanks for joining us today. Brilliant sunshiny day in eastern Iowa. Really great to see. Warms you in many ways. And we'll be along for the next hour, the first of 3 hours of local programming right here on KGYM. Speaking to you now on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM. Scott Unas is in the closing moments, he hopes, of another girls' state tournament basketball game. As his game right now, center point Urbana and Waverly Shell Rock in overtime. That's a 4A quarterfinal. We'll give you a result as we have it. I'm Mark Dukes, alongside Alex Kuhn today, sitting in for the aforementioned Scott Unas. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Alex, thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, it really is.
I know we're going to get to Purdue and Iowa tonight in a huge game for the Iowa Hawkeyes as far as Big Ten tournament seeding goes, as far as NCAA tournament season goes. But the Iowa baseball team starts today. And usually when we're talking about their home opener, there's a big question as to whether they're going to get it in or not, because usually it's snowing or sleeting or raining. Couldn't have asked for a better opening day for the Iowa baseball program.
Not really. No, not in the, at the 1st of March. And you mentioned that great trip to Minneapolis.
Oh, absolutely.
Beating two top 25 teams in North Carolina and Duke, dropping one to North Carolina State. But Heller Ball is alive and well, that's for sure.
They needed to get some RPI wins out of the gate. They have three over top 25 teams within the first month of the season.
How about that?
That certainly helps. And when we look at the Iowa basketball program, this is sort of what helped launch this season and why they're in the position that they're in right now, the quad one victories. And building a resume for the NCAA tournament, I think the Hawkeyes have done that already at this point. I think they've erased any of the doubt about that proverbial Fran fade into February, into March. And if they win this game tonight against Purdue, they put themselves in a great position to lock up a lot of things. And it starts with having the highest seed in the NCAA tournament that they've ever had against, under Fran McCaffrey. The highest has been a 7.
I'll be darned. And they're looking at, what, a 4 or 5 now? 5, probably. Six.
They can work themselves up to probably a 4, depending on what they do their last two games of the season, Purdue and Illinois, and then what they do in the Big Ten tournament. But if they win tonight, I think they're a lock to be a 6 or higher, without question.
Yeah. Iowa-Purdue tonight coming up at 8:07 at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. In regards to Iowa baseball, the Hawkeyes facing Grandview. Coming up at 4 o'clock down at Duane Banks Field. Also on the program today, Dan Shonka, one of our very great guests in terms of National Football League action. This will be a post-combine interview with Dan Shonka. Plenty to talk to him about. I know this is in your wheelhouse, Alex. And God, I found myself staring at the TV last weekend, too.
I watched a little bit of it. I think for the most part, we saw some incredible performances, and I think there was an Iowa player that had one of them, and a local Iowa player from, I don't know, Mount Vernon that had one of them, and another former Iowa Hawkeye that didn't do as well as many thought, and I'm just very curious how it's going to affect AJ Epenesa moving forward, or if at all. If at all. I guess we're going to run that by Dan.
Yeah, anybody can tell us it'll be Dan Shonka, at least his opinion. That'll come up towards the bottom of the hour here on today's gym class. Let's talk Iowa-Purdue. And you're welcome to join the conversation, 366-1600. That's when Buttons can answer the phone, or you can text us to that same number, our First Federal Credit Union text line. You know, Alex, it was almost exactly a month ago, Iowa went to West Lafayette and lost by 36 points. The worst loss of Fran McCaffrey's era. The real stinker of the season. I think it even surpassed the DePaul game. Maybe not. That's a matter of opinion. That was back in November, I think. But it's really a Super Tuesday in college basketball. No politics. Super Tuesday. As in addition to this Iowa-Purdue game, we've got Maryland at Rutgers and Michigan State at Penn State. So a super interesting night of college basketball.
Todd pointed this out yesterday on the show, that there are I think over 16,000 different scenarios that could come up with the Big Ten tournament as far as seedings go and who gets that top four double bye with two games remaining for everybody. It's just the season has been bonkers, and usually we see some separation at some point. We haven't, and it's just not going to happen. They're going to be tiebreakers. There are going to be teams that finish with the same record, and all bets are off when the Big Ten tournament gets underway. But for Iowa and Purdue, I think at the time a lot of people figured that it was a blip on the radar. But I guess you, as an Iowa fan and seeing what you've seen maybe over the Fran McCaffrey era, you weren't quite 100% positive that it was just that blip on the radar. And now you can look back at that game and say it was.
Can you?
I think you can, because here's why.
Okay.
I went to an NBA game in Minneapolis about a month ago, and Minnesota Timberwolves against the LA Clippers. Mark, I know you're not a huge NBA fan, but I'm pretty sure you can tell me which one of those is the better team.
The Clippers.
The Clippers are the better team. The Minnesota Timberwolves hit 27 three-point shots and beat the Los Angeles Clippers by 20-plus points that night. And it goes to show you that if a team has a hot shooting night and, I don't know, makes 19 of 34 three-point shots, you're toast. Now, it is not to say that Iowa played well that night at all, because they didn't. They did not defend well at all. They didn't shoot well. They were 6 for 25 from beyond the arc. But there's sort of that certain point in the Big Ten schedule where you go on the road and you play a team that has one of those nights and all bets are off. And the reason I say it was that blip on the radar is because since then they've had a couple of bad performances, but nothing quite like that. Nothing quite to that extent. And I honestly thought they played pretty well at Michigan State and had a good chance to win without C.J. Frederick. And look what Michigan State has done since that point. They've reeled off three wins in a row, and they beat a Maryland in College Park. So right now I'm looking at Iowa, and I'm not discounting anything moving forward. I think they can accomplish a lot, but I think the one missing ingredient right now is, can they get Joe Wieskamp going? That's the one question right now. Will we see vintage Joe Wieskamp at some point break out heading into the postseason?
I think one of the peripheral questions to be answered tonight is whether that 104-68 loss at West Lafayette was an outlier, or does Purdue represent a bad matchup? I prefer to think that was one of those games. I mean, those 19 three-point goals, guys were falling out of bounds with somebody draped all over them and canning threes. It was just an uncanny performance by Purdue. This is a Purdue team that's 500. 15-14, I think. Not a great team. And Iowa has a chance to become the only Big Ten team this season to complete an undefeated home season. And that's what Iowa needed to do to be a player in this league this season.
Win all your games at home in the Big Ten.
It has. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, in the Big Ten.
No, I knew what you meant.
But protecting the home court has been huge. What's the key to tonight's game for both teams? 319-366-1600, our text line and our phone line. Poll question at kgymradio.com has to do with tonight's game. Does Iowa beat Purdue tonight in Iowa City? Plain and simple. Yes or no? And thanks to Emil's, First Avenue Southeast, in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. Alex, it's clear to me, better defense.
Yeah, 11-56 hits on it right now. The Hawks need to be in the face of Purdue. Shooters taking threes like they were in the second half against Penn State. Here's my going out on the limb prediction for tonight. Purdue is not going to make 19 threes.
That's quite the hot take.
They're not going to shoot 65% from beyond the arc. And because of that, I think Iowa is going to win this game. But the reason I say that is just because 11-56 is saying is exactly what Fran McCaffrey is saying to his team. You remember what they did last time? It doesn't take a whole lot of selling to remind 18 to 22-year-old kids that you got embarrassed last time, that they dismantled you and just you could not miss. And they remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I look at this team, and one of the things that's been different about them than some of Fran's past teams is their ability to respond to those types of situations and not let something bad happen twice. Not let one bad thing lead to another. And that's legitimately what I think a lot of the fading into the postseason has been. Some of those teams, they kind of took some adversity personally, didn't respond to it very well. This team has.
Mm-hmm.
And has shown that toughness. And there is no way I look at a scenario where they're going to be lax closing out. They're not going to be locked in on the defensive end of the court. And this team has sort of shown just what a slight, like an average defense would do for an Iowa basketball team. Just have an okay defense. And that's what they've had. They've been a little inconsistent at times. They haven't been great. But they've been okay. And look how much difference it's made.
Made a huge difference. That's a great point. On the text line 9267, speaking about folks that have to get up in the morning and go to work. 8 p.m. games are tough on early risers. Hawks by 8. I personally don't have that problem.
No, me neither.
Maybe a good point for viewers.
So it's either 6 or 8, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's on the Big Ten Network.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a nationally televised game, it's either 6 or 8. So there's not really a good answer there, is there? Like if you have it at 6, people aren't off work. Or some are off work, but it's hard for people to get off work and then make their way down to Carver Hawkeye Arena and be in their seats by game time. If you have it by 8, the early risers are mentioning, you know what, I got to be up by 4:30 in the morning. I'm not going to be home till midnight. I can't go to that game.
Yeah, yeah.
TV rules everything.
That's a good point. I think we referred to it earlier. It's another night of positioning in the Big Ten because, as we asked you in our poll question yesterday, where you thought Iowa would end up being seeded for the Big Ten tournament, we gave you a range from 2 to 8. And I think the winner of yesterday's poll question was 5. And I think Iowa would be pretty satisfied with that at this point. But, again, you have Maryland and Rutgers and Michigan State and Penn State. Penn State tied with Iowa right now in the standings. So, you know, is Maryland going to go ahead and win this thing? Or is it going to drop a game tonight at Rutgers, which it probably shouldn't, but Rutgers still capable and playing for its NCAA tournament. Maybe not life, but a much better seed. So
Rutgers needs that game, though.
I would think so.
That's the thing about, like, you look at Rutgers right now, and people are starting to have the NIT discussion with them because of, A, they've lost 3 in a row, and B, they've only won one game away from the rack. And I think that you look at this and you say, if they beat Maryland, they're in. If they beat Maryland at home, they're going to get in the NCAA tournament. You think they have a better chance of beating Maryland at the rack than they have beating Purdue to close out their season at Mackey Arena?
Mm.
Probably. So they've
Rutgers lost. Still with a net of 34,
right,
though. A pretty good net.
Pretty solid net, but then you're getting in that territory where you lose 5 games to close out the regular season, and then you go to the Big Ten tournament with no momentum, and mm-hmm. you're possibly playing on that first day. They need that one. And so Maryland, as of late, has not played great. It's going to be a close basketball game. That's going to be very tightly contested.
To set you up for tonight, here's the current Big Ten standings. Maryland sits at 13-5. There's a three-way tie for second among Michigan State, Illinois, and Wisconsin. Then comes Penn State and Iowa at 11-7, followed by the surging Ohio State Buckeyes at 10-8. And then you drop off to Michigan and Rutgers at 9-9 and so on and so forth. And I think we'd be remiss to not give a tip of the hat to the three seniors who are going out tonight, principally Ryan Kreener, who was injured a couple years ago, and a kid out of Clear Lake, Iowa, who has improved leaps and bounds, and he's been a tremendous, tremendous part of this team, as has Bakari Evelyn, a one-year player, but his game has rounded into shape the last few outings. And then Riley Till, who came into the program as a walk-on, earned a scholarship. He would have another year, but he's going to go through senior night, and he perhaps will hang up his sneakers or will pursue a graduate transfer. So the senior nights are always very emotional, and I really respect what those guys have done. Kreener especially, having gone through the program.
I look at Kreener and Evelyn right now and say that they're a huge part of why this team's been able to weather the storm of Joe Wieskamp slump.
Absolutely.
And I hate to go back to that, but I think it's sort of a credit to Joe Wieskamp. We know how good of a player he is, and through this slump, there was I had the question whether or not they'd be able to withstand that. And the job that Ryan Kreener has done throughout most of this season, he's had some ups and downs, but when he's been engaged and aggressive and knowing his role and knowing what he needs to do when he comes off the bench, this team is better for it. And all of a sudden, Bakari Evelyn, who really had he made a three prior
no,
to this?
For much of the season, I was saying, no.
No, don't.
No.
Don't shoot that ball. I'm sure the first one that he hit against Minnesota with Fran McCaffrey. No. Yes.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't pitching in much of anything offensively, and all of a sudden it looked like he kind of found his comfortability, which is exactly what happened with Ryan Kreener. So to me, those are two really good signs. Two seniors who know their role and are comfortable in it now and are comfortable pitching in offensively when they need to. And that's what I think makes this team so dangerous right now with C.J. Frederick back on the court. And when Joe Wieskamp breaks out, it's going to be a sight to see for whoever they have to play.
I would agree. Looking forward to tonight's game, that's for sure. Postseason honors starting to dribble in. Kathleen Doyle, the player of the year in the Big Ten in women's basketball. Iowa has gone back-to-back-to-back. Players of the Year with Macon Gustafson winning the award twice. And A.J. Green, Player of the Year in the Missouri Valley Basketball Conference.
You and I got some big-time honors, as you would expect from the number one overall seed, or the outright champ, I should say. Larry Bird, Player of the Year, as you mentioned. A.J. Green, Defensive Player of the Year. Isaiah Brown. Austin Fife, the Waverly Shell Rock product. First-team All-Conference.
Yeah.
So, outstanding basketball's year.
Basketball's fun around here, isn't it?
It is. And
not sure names, but
you and I needs three more victories, and we'll see how things shake out in St. Louis.
Dan Shonka coming up on the program to talk NFL Combine. Let's bring you up to date what has happened at the Girls State Basketball Tournament. If we aren't yet on 107.5, we will be shortly. That game has concluded. Centerpoint Urbana, which had a thrilling night at the USL Center last night with its boys team winning a triple overtime game against Marion. The CPU girls outlasted Waverly Shell Rock in overtime in Des Moines this afternoon, 45-41. So CPU moves into the semifinals. Earlier today, Clare Creek Amana, enjoying its most successful season in program history, fell to number one North Scott, 63-43. Tonight is another game right here on KGYM, 106.3 and 107.5. West Branch taking on Osage. By my count, that will be Scott Unash's 12th game in 9 days. And he'll have another one tomorrow with North Lynn.
Hope he gets that hot tea ready.
I think he's working on it, that's for sure.
Hot tea, honey, lemon.
But,
apple
yeah.
cider vinegar.
Also tonight on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM, it'll be West Virginia and Iowa State. The Cyclones trying to rack up a win. And West Virginia is kind of on the free fall right now. We shall see.
They've lost 6 of 7.
And I saw a tweet today. They've hit like 15% of their threes over the last few games. And
yeah, that'll do it. Isn't it amazing at this point in basketball how that means everything? How much, what your 3-point percentage is?
You know, we haven't talked, I don't know about you and Todd on your show, but you know how much we made a big deal, maybe not a big deal, but a deal about the 3-point line moving back a foot.
Right.
And how much it was going to affect the game. Do you think it's affected the game?
I don't know.
Has it opened up the middle like people thought?
Not necessarily. Maybe a little bit. I think that it just causes these teams to go on such ebbs and flows offensively. Some nights they're hitting them, and then other nights they're not.
I think college players are unfazed by it being moved back a foot. By and large, you know, that's still a hittable shot.
Somebody pointed out the fact, though, that some of the arenas have not adjusted to it as far as getting rid of the confusion of having like three lines back there.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, not the first one. Oh, the second one. Oh, the third one is the one that we need to step
exactly.
behind. That's the only thing that I've noticed.
Okay, 1345 on the text line. You're right. Not having a good time and Ames in Ames, and I have a bad feeling it's going to continue next season. We shall see. Xavier Foster coming in from Oskaloosa. Don't think he's going to be an instant savior for that program. I expect the transfer portal to be used by Steve Prohm.
They have to get some impact guards. Steve Prohm has only that's his system. That's how he wants to play. He wants to play up tempo. He needs scoring guards to make his system work. And right now they don't have enough of them. They have right now like half a one.
Yeah.
Rashier Bolton is a good finisher around the rim, but he's not necessarily a distributor. And quite honestly, Tyrese Halliburton, when he was healthy, was also a nice distributor, but not a guy that you were going to expect to score 25 points a night. So they need some scoring guards. And they need to improve defensively. But where is the cavalry going to come from? Where is he going to be able to find that? Because he got hit hard last year by players leaving. And
really hard.
He didn't expect it, and it caught him off guard. And can he get back up? Because off the cameras, because he was staggered a little bit by that, I think.
Before we get to Dan Shonka, I want to answer a question on the text line. How many points does Luka Garza need tonight to break the all-time single season record? And the answer would be 14. John Johnson, 1969-70, I believe, scored 699 points. And Garza, you would think, would reach that tonight. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk NFL, post-NFL combine with Dan Shonka of OurLads.com. Back in a minute.
Still Murphy's Bar and Grill in Riverside, a great place to stop and eat on your way to or from the beautiful Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Murphy's Bar and Grill has a nice, relaxed atmosphere where almost everybody knows your name. Plenty of spirits for your pleasure and a huge menu. Everything from incredible ahi to melted-in-your-mouth ribeye and all the lasagna. Mwah! Stop on out to Murphy's Bar and Grill for a great meal and a good time. Highway 22 in Riverside. Murphy.
Where the fun never ends. Murphy's Bar and Grill.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, they're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You get your sports fix on KGYM. Now, satisfy your need for smart rock on Smart FM. Just John gets you going in the morning from 6 until 10. Greg's with you middays and serves up hot and fresh smart rock on the Smart Rock Smorgasbord. And Rick's got all the best tunes for your drive home from 3 to 7. Smart FM also offers extracurricular activities on the weekends, like Live from the Soundboard and Where It's At. When you need smart rock, there's only one place to get it. Smart FM, 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Welcome back to the gym class. coming up on 3:30 on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. Thanks for joining us on all four frequencies right now and on our stream at KGYMradio.com. Alex Kuhn alongside myself, Mark Dukes. Buttons here making things run smoothly. Right now we want to welcome in our friend Dan Shonka from rlads.com. You don't need 9-inch hands to appear on this program, Dan.
I want to tell you something. It constantly amuses me every year when I hear stuff like that come out. But you know that what they don't tell you is all those guys with big hands, they couldn't hit a bull in the behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they don't talk about that. But those 9-inch hand guys, I'll tell you, and I don't know if I've ever told this story on air, Mark, but and Alex, but there was a when I was at coaching the University of Kansas, John Hadle was our offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and that's back when Kansas was good, by the way. And I asked John about hand size, you know, and when John retired, he was one of the top passers of all time in NFL history. So he said, Dan, stick your hand up. I put my hand up. He put his hand up next to mine, and I don't have an extraordinary big hand, but my hand was bigger than John's. His fingertips were right about my knuckle, okay? He says, does that answer your question? And I say, yeah, thanks, John. You know what I mean? That my hand was a lot bigger than his, and I couldn't, you know, throw a football like John Hadle. So, but anyway.
A lot of quarterbacks would have liked to have his career, that's for sure. But, it the combine obviously is useful in some respects. But, you know, I see Tristan Wirfs' 36-inch vertical and think to myself, when is he going to have to do that in a game? And
about never, but you know what it does show? Man, that explosiveness. And, you know, the same way that when he long jumped 10-1, but, you know, that vertical jump, that was out of sight. But, you know, and they were talking about, of course, on the NFL Network, you probably saw that, about those massive thighs of his that, you know, you can anchor down pretty good with that stick behind and those big legs he's got. So, no, I mean, he was, no question about it, he was the man of the hour at the draft this weekend.
It's interesting with him because he came to Iowa as a really raw offensive lineman. They had to teach him a bunch of things technique wise and I thought he made a huge jump from his sophomore to his junior season playing right tackle. He's played right tackle in high school, he's played right tackle in college. It's clearly his more strong side. But when he runs like that and has the measurements and has the explosiveness, there's going to be some folks that maybe want to try to slide him over to left tackle and make him that franchise left tackle. Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, yes and no. No, because I've seen a lot of guys that can't make that adjustment, even from right guard to left guard or left guard to right guard, much less a tackle. But, you know, he showed when Jackson was out this year, you know, early in the year down at Iowa, Wirfs went over there, and I thought really did a good job playing on the left side. And but so I think whoever takes you, now we had him going to the Giants. This is before, you know, anybody knew how good an athlete he was, because we knew he was a pretty good athlete. I didn't know he was that good, but I thought he was pretty good. But we had him going to the Giants, where he'd be a right tackle until Solder, their left tackle, ends up, you know, either retiring or moving on. So, and that was pick four. Well, then he explodes out of there. And there's so many teams that need tackles. He's definitely going to go in the top 10. And I think that, he with his eyes closed, he could do better in Cleveland at 10 than whoever they had since Joe Thomas retired. You know what I mean? I mean, anybody. So he's going to get that chance because, you know, he'll be able to, his arm length is, he's 30, a little over 34 inches. He's got those big hands. He's not going to have to worry about throwing the football, you know, because he probably can throw it better than some of those guys. He's got 10 and a quarter hand. But, you know, Tristan, he'll be fine. But theoretically, you'd like to leave a guy play a position where he's got some experience or long-time experience. But I think Tristan, with an off-season, you know, and the preseason and all that, especially, I tell you what, my dream would be for Tristan to go to Cleveland because of Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan is the best offensive line coach in the National Football League, and he'll just carry on what, you know, Kirk Ferentz taught Tristan and his offensive line staff taught Tristan down in Iowa, and he'll just elevate his game. I mean, every place Bill's gone, he's former Wisconsin offensive line coach, then he's been around the National Football League. You track him, wherever he was at, the offensive line was just elevated everything, and the running game was better and everything else. And unfortunately, at the Redskins, the last year or two, they've had a tremendous amount of injuries and, you know, things like that. But he's a great, great offensive line coach, you know, and I would like to see Tristan play for him. But I think Tristan might end up going before, well, I'm almost certain he'll go before 10.
If you have a question for Dan Schunk of OurLads.com related to the NFL, give us a text, 319-366-1600, or a call. The other high-profile Iowa Hawkeye was A.J. Epenesa at the draft, and a lot of discussion. I'm sorry, at the Combine. A lot of discussion these days because Epenesa didn't test well. You had him at 14 in the last mock that I saw, Dan. Is there any reason to drop him?
Well, I mean, he kind of produced at the Combine what we thought he was. I mean, we never thought he's going to be a Chase Young pass rusher. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought that he's going to be a really good right defensive end in a four-man front, you know, a left defensive end in a four-man front, or be one of those big five technique pillars on a 3-4 defense. And I think that he kind of proved that. I mean, even if he stays at 5-flat or he runs 4-9 at the Iowa Pro Day or whatever, a 4-8-5 or whatever, that's insignificant. He's a strong guy. He's got size, you know, and he can bat balls down. He can get you, say, 6 to 7 sacks maybe a year. He kind of showed what he was. I mean, he's got long arms. He's got big hands. Yeah, he ran 5-flat or 5-4 or something like that. So what? And he's got some really a natural strength. You know, he didn't put up a lot. I think he put 17 up to 225. But, you know, he verticaled okay. I mean, everybody's not going to do what Tristan did. You know, I mean, he went 30. You know, A.J. went 32 and a half, and that was probably as good or better than a lot of those other defensive linemen, you know, that have played extensively. So, you know, he did okay there. It wasn't like a washout or anything. So, you know, the thing that was impressive, though, he ran an excellent 20-yard shuttle. You know, I mean, really good. He was a 4.46. That's what you want to do, see a guy be able to change directions and move and get up the field things. So I think that sometimes you just like to see AJ just turn it loose, though. You know what I mean? Just, hey, cut it loose. And I think somebody in the NFL, they're going to widen him out a little bit and say, AJ, sick him. You know what I mean? Don't worry about the outside contain. Don't worry about, you know, the inside run game. You just go ahead and get up there and turn it loose, you know. And so I think he's fine. He's going to go in the first round. You know, I don't know where we got him in the middle there. He might not go that high now because of all these receivers and crazy people going after quarterbacks. But I think he kind of showed what he was, you know, at the combine.
You mentioned the scheme fit and the possibility of him playing that five tech in a 3-4 defense. Could he fit that mold of like what we saw in San Francisco with a guy like Arik Armstead or DeForest Buckner?
Yeah, yeah, he could. He's very similar. Now, Armstead's a little, believe it or not, a little bit taller, you know. But you know, they were trying to run Armstead out of there a few years ago, saying, well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. Now they're doing everything they can to keep him in free agency. But yeah, he could very well do that and fit into a, you know, AJ could fit into a rotation or something like that. That's very good, Alex. I mean, that's kind of what he could be.
Dan, really interested to see what happens with Geno Stone. How about you?
Yeah, I am too. I was really, I don't know if I want to say shocked, but certainly surprised that he came out. You know, I thought, because he's a very good college football player, and I thought that he could certainly use the extra year. You know, he didn't run particularly well, and, you know, you'd like to see a guy run better than 4.62 or whatever it was, and then, you know, he didn't particularly put up a lot in the bench press either. Vertical, you know, okay, but not great for a strong safety. So, you know, you'd like to see him, his athletic numbers weren't, you know, off the chart. And things like that. He's a good football player, but there's a lot of good safeties this year. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, if he ends up just going late in the draft or signs as a free agent.
Michael Ojemudia is kind of intriguing to me. The long frame, long arms, pretty solid in run support. What do you see when you see him?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. One thing shocked me, and I don't know if they just missed him on the watch. I think you saw the big discrepancy there in his 40, which it's almost hard to believe because he ran at 4.45. I didn't know he was going to be that fast. But the next time, they must have missed him at him in the 4.6s. But you're exactly right. He has that good arm length. That you know, right away when I see good arm length on a corner, I say, well, he's going to Seattle. You know what I mean? So because they love those. They don't make no bones about it. They want those long arm press corners. But so many teams play a lot of press and things now. And, you know, I think that he's going to have some value out there. I like him. He did some good things at the Senior Bowl in practices, slapping the ball away and, you know, and showing good coverage. When they moved him up in press, he did a nice job. He can turn and run okay. I haven't seen the numbers and things yet, because they do time that back pedal turn and run. I like to see that, to see how it correlates with their 40-yard dash time, but I haven't seen that yet. But I think he's really a good football player, and I think that he's probably going to go, my guess is the fourth round, somewhere in there, you know, because there's not a ton of great corners out there. They're going to be above him, so I think he's got some value.
Dan Chalk of OurLads.com talking post NFL Combine here on the Gym Class at 3:42. Nate Stanley, the Iowa quarterback, was at the Combine. Do you suppose he'll be wearing a headset on the NFL sideline next year?
Well, you know, he's a really good guy. He's kind of streaky. What I'd like to see him do is, you know, because if he does that, Mark, you know, he's not going to be able to get out there and play, because they don't get that many reps in practice and things. And maybe one of the best things he could do is go to XFL and just kind of get out there and throw the ball and just keep throwing it and kind of, you know, elevating his game a little more, because He does do a lot of good things. We saw him have some great games in Iowa, but boy, it's just streaky. And one thing you want, you know, when you're coaching at any level or you know, any in any sport, you want consistency. And you know, Nate really, he was just up and down. You know, you like to see a flat line instead of, you know, the everything 1 week. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get week to week for the most part. So, that being said, it wouldn't shock me, you know, if he ended up sticking as a third quarterback somewhere. But his demeanor's a little bit different than other people, and that's the big buzz, you know, right now with Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, the very cerebral guy, just, you know, not maybe that take charge, grab you by the face mask type of quarterback that some people like to see, but you don't have to do that, you know, to succeed in the NFL. And I think that's hurting Justin a little bit, and that might hurt Nate a little bit, that, you know, he's just really a good guy that is a good teammate and all that. But is he that great, you know, on the field leader? Yeah, well, that remains to be seen.
You kind of lead me right to my next question. Justin Herbert, I can't put my finger on it with him. The statistics are there. The arm strength is there. But there's just something. I'm not sure. In your estimation, who is the third best quarterback in this draft?
Probably Herbert. You know, I mean, I'm not going to say probably it is, because if you're thinking about putting Love in there from Utah State, you're talking the wrong guy, because I'm not a Love guy. I've studied him too much, and I'm tired of hearing all these excuses from national analysts about, I just got to ask them to go back and look at film again and then tell me which ones that where he's consistent, because he, you know, a lot of these guys now, and you know, after Burrow and then, you know, Tua, you have to say, you know, he's injury prone. So right now the rest of these quarterbacks are streaky. Herbert's streaky. Love is beyond streaky. You don't know what he's going to do. He might just throw it right into triple coverage just for the fun of it. You know, I mean, he's a different duck. So, but anyway, I this quarterback class is not a great class by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's too much inconsistency. Now, Jalen Hurts is a guy that I would say would be a sleeper among all these quarterbacks, because the guy can pull it down and run, and he can throw, and he's pretty accurate. And with the way schemes are spreading people out, you're going to have open receivers down the field like you are in college now. You know, it used to be where, man, those windows were so small in the NFL. Well, now the way formations are, and your four wide is your base formation, you're going to have some open receivers, and Hurts can hit those guys.
Dan, I'm thinking, and you're the expert, not me, but the depth of the wide receiver class this season, I'm thinking I can get a starter in the third round.
You're absolutely right. You know what's even scarier is you might have a third or fourth round guy falling out of the draft.
Yeah.
How about that? You know, I mean, it is so deep. In fact, it's since I've been scouting pro football players since I was national football scout in 1987, and I don't know if there's been a better receiver draft than this one, because you got quickness, speed, slot guys, outside guys, multiple alignment receivers, multiple level receivers, the quick slant guys, or you can go across the digs, or you can, you know, take something deep. It's really incredible. They're just an outstanding group of receivers, and if you don't get one this year, then you ought to be fired, because there's a ton of them there, and like I said, and they're such great athletes. I mean, that's the thing too. They're not only, you know, you've got good hands and track the ball well and run good routes. I mean, they got juice too. So yeah, and there's a bunch of them. In fact, when at the East West this year, 10 of our receivers end up going to combine. You know, and I would be shocked if 40 receivers, which is almost what that's one fifth of the or one fourth of the draft, something like that, could very well get drafted and still have a bunch fall out of the draft.
Could you see teams sort of saying, you know what, there's so much depth here, maybe we'll pass on CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy in the first round and draft somebody else? Because a guy like Denzel Mims or Donovan Peoples-Jones could be there in the second or the third.
Well, no, it was going to happen. Mims could squeeze into that first round now.
That's true.
You know what I mean? He could be at the bottom of the first. And then, you know, I think that Peoples Jones, you know, what he vertical 44, and he just didn't get used at Michigan because they have all those receivers there. And he was a punt return guy and things. So he's going to go in the second round. But I think what you're going to have these tiers, okay? Then you got the Lambs up there, the Judy's up there, the Ruggs. They'll be in put Higgins in there, you know, they'll be in that maybe top tier. Then right. Your next tier, which is really, really good, like say the late middle of the first round and then to the end of the first round, guys, you know, like Jefferson from LSU, he's going to be in there. Mims is going to be in that group. You know, before Hamler got so inconsistent, he probably would have been in there, but he had suffered a lot of injuries, but he had a lot of juice. A guy named Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State, a lot of people haven't heard of him in the Midwest and the East, but he's a terrific football player, and he's going to be in that next group, early second round, maybe late first for some teams. So there's a ton of guys, and he's a big-time return guy with long arms that he can beat you down the field as well as run over you. And, you know, he's a 5'11", 205-pound guy. So, I mean, there's a ton of those receivers, like I said. But they're in tiers, but there's not such a big separation of those tiers.
Dan, we want to accommodate one of our listeners on the text line. 1345 wants us to ask you about Steve Wardle, the Iowa State long snapper who tested amazingly well.
Yeah, no, he's a big time. Love Steve. He's a big time snapper. He's going to have a long career. And hey, there are some of those snappers this year, believe it or not, hold on to your chair. We've all went in the wrong profession, but they're making $1 million. Okay, a year. A long snapper, and that's all they do. Long and short snap. You got to be in the league for a while. You know what I mean? But, hey, you're going to pick up $500,000 a year and then $600,000. When you're good at what you do, and Steve is. And another thing Steve can do, he gets down the field, makes tackles too. You know, he's just not a long snapper, but he's a guy that can contribute on your coverage team. So, but yes, Steve is an outstanding long snapper. And in my opinion, he's the best long snapper in this draft.
Casey Kreider would agree with you.
Yeah.
Dan, what about Mekhi Becton? Where does he get drafted now that we see at 6'7", 370 pounds, he runs a 5'1", 40?
You know, he didn't change in our mind because it kind of reminds me a little bit of Trey Thomas, who we had at Philadelphia. And he kind of reminds me a little bit of Trey Brown when Trey was at, who's now the highest paid tackle in the National Football League. But when he was at Florida, he was just a guy. A very big guy, you know, at 6'8" and 340 pounds, but he didn't move his feet. He waistband, he's pushing his. Well, anyway, Becton, he's going to end up being, like I said, a top 12, top 13 guy. But he's still, I mean, he's got a long ways to go. And again, if a guy like Callahan gets a hold of him, he is really going to be an outstanding football player. Because Becton, when the new coaching staff came in there, he was fat, overweight, and lazy, and everything else. And then this year, they kind of kicked him in the rear end, and he ended up being a really good player, and obviously a really athletic one, the way he ran and things. But he didn't he ran and he didn't do some of the rest of the workout, which bothers me. But anyway, he's going to be, you know, a top 15 guy, and because he's just a big white body, it takes a long time to run around those guys.
The NFL draft coming up April 23 through 25 in Las Vegas. Dan, ton of questions, but we're plumb out of time, man.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I'll be out with you again sometime, anytime, you know.
We will. We always enjoy the visits, and we'll have you back many, many more times. Okay, Dan?
Great. Thanks, guys. Great being with you as always.
Dan Schalk of OurLads.com. Go to the website. They've got, during the season, maybe best depth charts. They have NFL depth charts, college depth charts. He's got position rankings up there right now on OurLads.com. Go ahead and visit the site. Also, come back with us. We need to take a break right now. It's the Gym Class on KGYM.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com.
Salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some sap.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh! So what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Napa know-how.
Now at Napa, get a free Chase Elliott racing hat with any $25 purchase. Set of brakes? That'll cover it. New battery? Hat-worthy. Replacing an air filter? Then adding on wiper blades and headlamps just to break $25? Chase approved. So get what you need and a free Chase Elliott hat. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 3/31/20.
It's a wireless world, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. So go with Raycons. Raycons start about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing. And Raycon's latest model, the E25s, are the best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a comfortable noise-isolating fit. See what the hype is about. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/will. buyraycon.com/WILL. That's buyraycon.com/will.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream, and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people. Every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
Every player matters, and finding the right person can make all the difference. For Murray State, that was Ja Morant. In his sophomore season, Morant led the Racers to a 28-5 record and a trip to the NCAA tournament. In the first round, Morant had a triple-double in Murray State's upset win over Marquette. He finished the season as the first NCAA player to average at least 20 points and 10 assists per game in a single season.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Bracket busters, Cinderellas, underdogs on top. With the right talent in the right place at the right time, crazy things can happen. And it's no different for your business. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interest, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back to the gym class, 357 on this Tuesday afternoon. Stay tuned the next 2 hours, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Speaking of Alex Kuhn, joining me today, and depending on results of the girls' state basketball tournament, maybe a few other days this week, Alex.
I'll be here.
All right.
You know where to find me.
Buttons, thanks for everything you do today and every day. Our producer on the other side of the glass. We're going to have Dan Shalka back at least once or twice before the draft because since we hung up with Dan and got in text, and people wanted to know about their specific teams. And those are reasonable questions. So we'll have Dan back.
Yeah. I feel like this point, you recap individual players at the combine. Then after everything unfolds closer to the draft, you start looking ahead to the Chiefs, the Bears, the Vikings. What do they need to address now that we kind of have the tiers of prospects becoming more clear?
If you're curious, you can go to rlads.com and check it out. But the folks there, Dan and others, have Chase Young, the number one overall draft pick, followed by Joe Burrow. So whether that'll change or not, another question I wanted to ask Dan, do you expect it to be a volatile draft? Do you? A lot of trades?
I do.
Movement?
I expect it to be a very, very volatile draft. Because a lot of the buzz now is that Joe Burrow goes one, Tua goes number two. If that happens, can you imagine how many teams are going to be trying to trade up to number three to get Chase Young at number three? It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of movement, too. And that's coming up at the end of April in Las Vegas. Should be a lot of fun. If you missed it earlier today, the two teams from Eastern Iowa played at the Girls State Basketball Tournament. Clear Creek and Mana lost to North Scott 63-43. Center Point Urbana with an overtime victory over Waverly Shell Rock. Tonight's action, West Branch and Osage getting together at 8:15 in the quarterfinal on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. West Virginia, Iowa State men's basketball, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. And then tomorrow morning, 11:45, Scott Unash back on the call for a 2A quarterfinal, North Lynn and Western Christian out of Hull. Tomorrow, very much looking forward to talking with Mark Ironside in our wrestling segment, brought to you by Kirk Gustafson Family of Insurance. We'll have a Bowling Night in America preview, and we'll analyze the Iowa-Purdue game, which comes up tonight. Thanks for joining us on the Gym Class.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.